our Torah teachings, is understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. And, you know, how important is that, that we make sure we understand what is his likes and what is dislikes. In order, you can't walk the walk that he, you know, the plumb line that he puts in front of you, the straight line, if you don't know what is his likes and his dislikes. You cannot do it. You're going to get outside the boundaries. And we got to stay inside the boundaries of his Torah. And it's Torah portion number three is Lech Lecha, and it's Hebrew for go or leave, or literally go for you or go for yourself. You got to go. It's a command. He's telling me. He commanded Abraham. He says, go. We didn't stop right here last night, but this was so powerful to me when Pastor read it. It says, we are to walk in the truth. Walk in it, seek the truth, and simply obey the truth and allow his spirit to bring the clear understanding and our doing of his commands. What we have to ask for? His spirit. His set apart spirit brings us clear understanding in his word. When you ask for his set apart spirit, that takes away your mindset, your thinking, your theologies of things. It's his set apart spirit that's going to lead you and guide you in all truth, not just some, all. It says, what was credited to Abraham as righteousness was his obedience to the instruction of Elohim, even when it cost him his land, his friends, and his family. Think about that, what it cost. It cost Abraham everything. Everything. Land, family, and friends. I think this is where Pastor left off last night. It says, when looking at these root terms, it is very clear, even in the Greek mindset, that to believe involves action and confidence, response to the one who you put your trust in and follow. It says Abraham did exactly that. He trusted and had total confidence. That's what we have to have. Total confidence in his word. We have to get that in our mind and in our heart and spirit. We have to apply that to our life. We got to have total confidence. His word says it. Listen, when you have total confidence, there's no negotiation. You don't negotiate the word when you got total confidence in the word. And his word, will his word lead you astray in any way? No. His word is straightforward. His word is powerful. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It said it knows the intentions of the heart. But we got to have the confidence in his word and obey it while it costs him his land, relatives, and close family. Scripture continually presents to us the clear choice of worship. Either we're going to do two things. One, as Abraham believed and do all the commands of Elohim, in whom we put our trust and therefore realize that we shall be blessed by our Creator, Redeemer, and King. That's choice one. We either going to do that one and be blessed. And listen, man cannot bless like he can bless. Man cannot bless us like Yehovah can bless us. That's why Abram, he took this hammer. I was walking past by. I was coming down and seen the little hammer in the little foyer thing. And I went back and I got it. That's why Abram, he was probably a master builder. That's what they did, a lot of building back then. They knew hammers and probably, you know, hatchets and nails and wood. He believed so much in what the word that Yehovah told him that he took this hammer and he went to his father's gallery of idols. And I bet you he went to whacking away and just, the scripture tells he broke down everything. Then he told his father that let it put itself all back together. If it's the God that you so call that you worship. He just tore it up. Think about that. He no holds barred. He believed the word that Yehovah spoke to him. He didn't believe the word because he didn't walk the walk and believe the word because Noach and Shem, he was trained underneath them. Because listen, if he would have did it because they was doing it, it wouldn't have last. Your relationship with the Father does not last if we walk in because Pastor presented something to us 5 years ago. We have to walk the walk and see it for ourselves and hear it for ourselves in order for it to last. It will not last if we're doing it for man or because of what he said or what she said. We got to do it because of what the Father said. And that's concrete. We do it because we walking out in the plumb line because of what he says. That's lasting. That will last. Won't last because if we're doing it for any other reason. We have to do it for his reason. Number two, you're going to either do this one. We follow a man-driven system of Nimrod, rooted worship, that will only lead to destruction. Despite the seeming short-term success in the flesh. Short-term. Not long-term. What's the long-term goal? It's spending eternity with the Father. That's our long-term goal. You know, we can get caught up in what's going, you know, people's getting all these beautiful, nice things, but they're not being obedient. He calls it short-term success in the flesh, because it's the flesh. It's a fleshly thing. The flesh wants all those things. When you get lined up with him, the Spirit wants just what Sister Connie said. I want what he wants. I want what like-minded people want. I can't have the same conversation and same feelings with you know, a non-believer that I can have with a Torah keeper, follower, total obedience to Yehovah. You never have. You never have that connection. You never have that feeling. So despite seeming short-term success in the flesh, Babel or Yerushalayim is the clear choice. Are you trying to build your own way, or are you listening to the instruction of the master builder and following his commands? Are we trying to build our own way, or are we going to follow his master plan, his blueprints? We're going to do either one, Babel or Yerushalayim. It's a choice. How many know that? I choose Yerushalayim. I choose it. As we walk in the commands, we shall be a blessing to many. For we will, you want to bless them? For we will bring them the blessed Besorah. We will bring them the blessed good news. That's how we'll be a blessing to others. Bless them with the good news. Galatians 3:13-14. Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the Torah, having become a curse for us. For it has been written, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the nations and Messiah, Yeshua, to receive the promise of the Spirit through belief. Through belief. The curse of the Torah is death. That's what he delivered us from. He didn't do away with the Torah. The Torah wasn't hung on a tree. It was the death. The penalty was death when you sinned. And he redeemed us from that. Think about that. How powerful is that? He bore the weight of the whole world on his shoulders. The whole entire world. Listen, you might think I messed up too. It's too much. That's not what I read. That's not what I read. He said he redeemed me. We got to grab a hold to that we've been redeemed. We don't have to, listen, when you shut that door, you don't have to live in yesteryears. No, you start fresh and anew right then and there. But it has to be sincere. It has to be true. You know, we can talk the talk all we want. But we got to walk it. We got to walk the walk. That's the key. You can say a bunch of stuff. But he knows your heart. He knows the intention. And that's what that's why he said the word is so powerful, like a two-edged sword. It knows the intentions of the heart. Listen, you can fool man all day long. You can even fool yourself. But you can't fool him. He knows. He knows. So listen, don't think that we too far that we can't come back. We've been redeemed by the blood of Messiah. That is what Messiah redeemed us from, the death of the Torah. From debt and not from obedience to the Torah. That's not done away with. No, from obedience of the Torah itself, but rather the curse, singular, of the Torah, which is debt, in order that we may be a blessing, as the blessing of Abraham's comes from us, as we receive the spirit of the truth through belief, which is an active and obedient expression of our reliance and trust in our Creator and Redeemer, as marked by our guarding of His commands. And by the guarding of the commands, we are seen as sons of Abraham. By the guarding. Hear, guard, and do. Hear, guard, and do. You're blessed by the guarding of the commands. Think about it. You really want to bless somebody? Let somebody see you stay faithful in your walk. Let somebody see you stay faithful in your walk and you'll be a blessing to them. You have no idea how much of a blessing you'll be just by your faithfulness. Not by your squirreliness. No matter what the world's saying, what the world's thinking, what direction they're going, you're in the boundaries of the Torah. That's what people don't want a squirrely person. They want to see faithfulness. They want to see somebody that's going to walk the walk and talk the talk. That's what they want. And you want to be a blessing? Stay faithful. Stay faithful. No matter what. No matter what it costs you. That's the biggest thing. When somebody can see that it cost you something and you're still serving Yehovah, you're still giving him praise in the midst of storms, you're talking about bless somebody. You have no idea. We have no idea what it does to a person's life that's watching you. That's watching you. Genesis 12:3, and I shall bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. And in you all the clans of the earth shall be blessed. Let him take care of the naysayers. We don't have to. We don't have to. Our flesh wants to. That's the flesh thing that we got to get control of. We want to put the gloves on and go duke it out with them. No, he says, you keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to bless you, and I'll curse them that curses you. Verse 3, the promises go further than just those who receive the blessing for obedience, as Yehovah promises to bless those who bless Abram, while he also says that those who despise him, Yehovah would curse. Yehovah will curse. The Hebrew root word that is translated as curses, as in the one who curses you, is kalal. Strong's 87043, which means to be light, swift, trifling, cursed, and despised, and pictures those who would despise Abram for walking in the Torah would be cursed. Think about it. You're going to be despised walking in the Torah. It's just what it is. Because there's a plumb line that you follow when you're walking in the Torah. People don't like that. Because the first thing they want to say, oh, you think you're better than me. No, I don't think I'm better than you. Not by a long shot. If anything, you know what the Torah does? It humbles me. It humbles me to where I don't even feel like I'm better than you. That's what the Torah does to me. It humbles me. But I want you to see that when you're following his Torah. Listen, I'm not the one blessing myself. He's the one that's blessing me. Don't hate me. Hate the one that's blessing me. y'all hate him. Take that on and see how far that's going to get you. What he says, I will curse them that despise you. Which is the primitive root word, arar, Strong's 8779, which means to curse. The Hebrew root word that is translated as blessed is barak, Strong's H1288, which means to kneel, bless, and abundantly bless. And literally carries the meaning to kneel or bow down, to show respect, to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect. What is being set before us is the following. Number one, either the abundant blessing and shalom of Yehovah, or number two, the absent or reversal thereof. Think about it. It's either going to be his abundant blessing, his shalom, his peace, or it's going to be the absent or reversal thereof. And how many know when he's absent in your life? That's a dangerous place to be. When you're trying to walk the walk by yourself, dangerous. But when he's with you, when he's walking right alongside you, there's not a greater, better feeling in the world than knowing that the creator of the universe that spoke this world into existence is right alongside him. His peace passes all understanding. All. The promise of Abram is significant in the great protection and provision of Elohim toward Abram and his descendants forever. Guess what? I'm a descendant of Father Abraham and many sons, and I am one of them, and so are you. Listen, because his protection and his provision forever. I want that. I want Father Abraham's protection. Elohim's protection and provision because of Father Abraham's obedience. But listen, Father Abraham is not here in 2021. It's Pastor Josh, it's Brother Chad, it's Pastor Charlotte, it's Pastor, it's Sister Nikki, Brother Preston. We're here in 2021. Are we going to continue to stay faithful and walk in his Torah? That's the only way we're going to keep them blessings of Father Abraham. You're not going to have Father Abraham blessings if you outside the boundaries. It'd be crazy for us to even think that. We can sing the Father Abraham song all we want if we're not standing in his Torah, if we're not on that straight plumb line. We're not going to have them blessings. But he says protection and provision of Elohim forever. Forever. This word that Yehovah said that he would curse those who curse Abraham goes further than simply cursing him, as it emphasizes that those who actually despise Abraham shall be cursed. That sounds like a promise. And I don't want that promise. But he said they shall be, not they might. I think I might curse them for you. No, he said they shall be. They shall be. And that's, you know, you think about that because you don't want nothing. You don't want nobody to be cursed. You don't want nothing bad to happen to people. And I mean, you know, not bad like bad, bad, bad. You know, you want them to have the blessings that you have. That's what you want for their lives. You don't want them to lack. You don't want them to be lacking in nothing. You want them to feel the joy that you have, the excitement that you have. That's what you want for people. Now, to despise someone may not necessarily be evident in a physical cursing, but it is clear in the disregard for the respect that needs to be shown. We see this root word, Kalal, Strong's 87043, being used in the following verse and is translated as despise. 1 Samuel 2:30. Therefore, Yehovah Elohim of Israel declares, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. But now Yehovah declares, far be it from me. For those who highly esteem me, I highly esteem. Those that highly esteem me, I highly esteem them. Listen, when you give him the glory, honor, and favor that he deserves, people will give you the favor that you deserve. He will put people in your life to favor you, that will favor you. He says he does it, not me. I got to put me on the side. I got to leave me behind. Let him do the favor. Because listen, you can try to please people all you want. You can try to please them all you want. But guess what? The more you do, the more they're going to expect. The more you please them, you know, we hear this little statement, they take my kindness for weakness. Because that's what people do. They really do. They take your kindness for weakness. The more you try to please them, the less they're going to, the more they're going to probably say something about it. They're going to find fault in you. But when Yehovah sends someone to favor you, you don't have nothing to worry about. Let him do the favoring in your life. Let us stop trying to do the favoring for people. Let him bring the people in our life that need to be. We can pick the wrong people. Because, again, we don't know their heart. But he knows their heart. Let him choose the people to put in your life. And don't worry about when he removes someone from your life. Let him remove them. He's removing them for a reason. He knows what's best for us. But we just have to trust the process. We got to walk the walk. We got to stay faithful. We got to take the step, just like Abram did. Listen to his voice and take the step. Far be it from me, for those who highly esteem me, I highly esteem. And those who despise me, I lightly esteem. The word despise is explained in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. What's the word? Collegiate dictionary. As to look down on with contempt or aversion. To regard as negligible, worthless, or distasteful. And herein lies a very severe warning to those who regard the Torah as negligible, worthless, or distasteful. And treat with contempt the name of Yehovah. Think about that. That's powerful. In Hebrew, there is another word that is also translated as despise, which helps us better understand the severe warning of taking the name of Yehovah lightly. And it is seen in the following verse, Isaiah 52:5. And now, what have I here, declares Yehovah, that my people are taking away for naught. Those who rule over them make them wail, declares Yehovah. And my name is despised all day continue. Well, he calls them my people. My people. In Hebrew, the word is translated here as despised. Comes from the root word, na'atz. Strong's H5006. It means to spurn, treat with contempt, blaspheme, scorn. And it is used in Psalms 10:13. Why do the wrong scorn Elohim? He has said in his heart, it is not required. Why does the wrong scorn Elohim? He has said in his heart, it is not required. Those who disregard the commands of Elohim blasphemes him. Oh boy. Those who disregard the commands. Where is his commands found? In his Torah. Oh, we don't need the Torah. We don't need to do it. That's old. It's done away with. It says you are blaspheming him. Especially when they say regarding the Torah, it is not required. Especially when they say it's not required. You don't have to do that no more. That's old, but it's done away with. Get in the New Testament, brother. That's where it's at, the New Testament. What he says, especially the ones that are saying that the Torah is not required. They blaspheme in me. Another very well-known verse in which we find another Hebrew word that is translated as despise is seen in Malachi 1:6. A son esteems his father and a servant his master. And if I am the Father, where is my esteem? Where is my glory? Where is my honor? Think about it. People going around, you know, church folks, saying how much they're giving him glory and honor and they're esteeming him. He says, if I'm the Father, where's my esteem? Why are you not keeping my Torah? Why are you not following my commands, my laws, my right rulings? Those things I bless people for. Those things I call people righteous for. Those things I call people perfect for. Their heart is perfect towards me when they're following my Torah. And where's my honor? Where's my esteem at? If you calling me Father. And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says Jehovah of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. But you ask, in what way have we despised your name? What way have we despised your name? And I think, you know, he says it plainly through his word. By not keeping my Torah. That's how you despise my name. By not keeping my Torah. The root word that is used twice for despise in this above verse is bazar, Strong's H959, which means to despise, despicable, contempt, careless, to be vile and worthless. The reason I'm sharing these various words here is so that we can, in our English understanding, because, you know, it's hard for us to get out of that, because, you know, this is just how we was born and raised. We steep in the English. But he wants us with that Hebraic mindset, but he's saying, for those that just can't quite get it, he's so good, so mindful of us, so thoughtful, always thinking ahead. He says, for those in our English understanding, let me tell you, get a clear message as to what it truly means to despise Elohim, his name and his covenant that he made with our father, Abraham. In the Hebrew language, there are well over double the amount of words. Ain't it? We see now, that's what these little Strongs, that's what we break them down for. It's double the amount of word than what we can understand just with one English word. It doubles it. Than that which is in the English language, and hence the reason that we find various words being translated from Hebrew into the same English word, and this further emphasizes for us the fuller understanding of what the Hebrew text is teaching us on a deeper and more meaningful level. Think about it. And isn't it a more deeper understanding and a more meaningful level? Absolutely. It's like we was right here 1 year, then the next year was, it was crazy. It's like you went from grammar to college. Quick like. just how much deeper to he, just, and just think about it, that one day he's going to return to the original language. You know, that was the whole Tower of Babel thing. Listen, if we can get that, we got to get that. There's a real deep meaning behind what happened right there. We know, you know, we look at what he did to them. But listen, think about it when you get in one mind and one accord, the power that you have. That's how much power they had. They had one, they was speaking the same language. They was building the tower. And he knew that the people, they had this one mind. They was on the same page. They was in an agreement. And they was doing something mighty. And Yehovah, that's why we got so many languages. No, he had to. He had to disperse the languages to where they couldn't understand each other because they was doing something mighty. But that's what I want to tell y'all, that just think when we get that kind of mindset as a whole, as a family, as a church family, and we get into that one language, so to speak, how powerful. You want to move on this peninsula in Port Salford, the Beerus area, wherever we station at? We need to be one-minded, same mind. Look, same goal, stand in his boundaries, stand in the Torah, And we'll do some awesome and mighty wonderful things for Yehovah. But it was because where their heart was wrong. And that's why he had to disperse to so many different languages. Because the Hebrew language is powerful. Think about it. The Hebrew language is very, very powerful. In the above verse from Malachi, the answer to the question of how they were despising the name of Yehovah is given in the next verse. I'm so thankful that he don't leave us hanging. He tells us. He said, oh, I got a verse for that. I'll let you know why and how you despise in my name. Malachi 1:7. You are presenting defiled food on my altar. But you ask, in what way have we defiled you? Because you say the table of Yehovah is despicable. Because you say the table of Yehovah is despicable. You're defiling. You are presenting defiled food on my altar. You're putting stuff on there that I don't want. You saying stuff that I don't say. You talking stuff that I don't talk. You walking in areas of your life that I don't walk. That's what he's saying right there. I don't do those things. That's what you're doing. That's how you're defiling my name. You're not walking in my Torah. You're not walking in my boundaries. You're walking the way you want to walk. You're talking the way you want to talk. This rebuke of how they were presenting defiled food and calling the table of Yehovah despicable is a clear rebuke as to how they were despising the feast of Yehovah and contaminating their worship through a corrupt mix of pagan-rooted sun worship practices that had caused their festivals to become defiled and unclean before the eyes of Elohim, as they showed no regard for the true table of Yehovah. It wasn't following his feast days. These man-made rooted traditions, and then they want to put a little Christian veneer on it. Sun worship practices. Think about that. How many glad we've been redeemed from that? I'm glad we've been redeemed from that. We've been delivered from that nonsense. Because that's what it is. It's not, it don't even make no sense. None of it. None of it. And it's not even scriptural. They can't even back it up with scripture. They can back it up with, but that's not what it means to me. What? Where you get that from? But that's not what it means to me. Show me that in scripture. That Yehovah says that, but that's not what it means to me. Find me a chapter and a verse. Find me a verse, not even a chapter. Just give me a verse to where he says that. But that's not what it means to me. Can't even back none of this up. In today's terms, we also see this vivid display of many who say the table of Yehovah is despicable simply by their refusal to keep feasts of Pesach, Passover, and Matzah, unleavened bread, while they continue in bringing defiled and abominable worship in the form of the pagan feasts of Easter, Ishtar, before the face of Elohim. Think about that. Year after year, they putting that up to his nose. And they walking around talking about, we bless. Yeah. Okay. I'll be careful of what you call him bless, or who's the one you saying is blessing you. Because I read, he don't bless that. He says, that's defiled. You're defiling my table. Many people may try to claim that they are worshiping Elohim when they observe falsified sun worship feasts and present defiled food, so to speak, as they eat yeast products during a feast where no leaven is commanded. No leaven is commanded. Which actually renders their attempt at worship as null and void. And, of course, abominable. Hot cross buns and all the Easter eggs are defiled food. Hot cross buns and all Easter eggs are defiled food. And when confronted about this, most Christians will refuse to hear the truth and will, by their actions of disobedience, call the true feast of Pesach, Passover, and 7 days of unleavened bread, matzah, despicable, which is a word that all comes from the root word bazaar. Think about it. You ever been in those settings with a believer that says that? Listen, they quickly change the subject when you start talking. They don't mind bringing it up, but they really don't want the truth. Sometimes I think it's a test if they're going to see if you're going to stay true to what his word says. Sometimes I really do. They're just going to see if they can pull one over you. Listen, they can't pull nothing over you when you're in the Torah. They can try all what they want. They can dress it up nice and pretty. They can put a Christian veneer on it. They can paint whatever picture they want. But when you're in the Torah, they can't pull nothing over your eyes. Cannot. But they don't want to hear. They really don't want to hear the truth. They change the conversation quick. When you start talking about this, you bring that up. They might ask the question, but when you start saying, "Well, this is what the Bible says. It's not what I say. It's what the Bible say." Next thing you know, you're talking about fishing or sports or, you know, what you ate, how big is your house, you know, when's the last time you cut your grass, I don't know, whatever they bring up. They bring up all kind of stuff. They get away from that truth quick. In this clear message given to Abram in verse 3, we are giving the picture of the dangers of despising the name of our Heavenly Father. And that's exactly, I should have highlighted that, because that's what it is exactly, is dangers. It's danger. Despising the name of our Heavenly Father, Yehovah of hosts, along with the dangers of defiling the set-apart worship that we are called to do and to live by, and the danger of any compromise that may express through defile actions in the table of Yehovah is rendered despicable. Anyone who defiles or despises the name of Yehovah, as well as anyone who despises his feast, shall be cursed by Yehovah. Deuteronomies 27 and 28 are chapters that lay out for us a very clear list of curses that will come upon us as a result of disobedience. You wonder how they just don't see that. I mean, it's clear. It tells you. You will be cursed if you continue to do this. But for some reason, it's because they're not in that part of the Bible. That's why. I mean, they probably heard it and maybe even read over it. But maybe not. Maybe they just stop after the blessings. Maybe they don't read the curses. Or think that don't pertain to them for some reason, if they're doing opposite of what his commands is. Read the whole thing. In recognizing Abram as the father of our faith in Yehovah, we are also reminded of the words of Messiah, who called the hypocritical Pharisees who claimed to be sons of Abraham, sons of the devil. You think that his words, Messiah's words are that it has meaning behind it? I think so, because he says, the words that I speak are not even my own. They come from the Father. They're his words. They're not my words. They're not mine. They're his. Think about it. And what he calls them? Let's see. John 8:39. They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Yeshua said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." You will walk the walk, the path that Abraham walked and took. If Abraham was your father, you wouldn't be doing what you want to do if Abraham was your father. Because listen, Abraham obeyed my commands. All of them. He obeyed all of them. He took this hammer. And he went to breaking down things. Listen, we need to take this hammer and continue to break down things in our lives. We're not finished. We're not finished breaking down stuff. We're far from finished. We got to continue to hold this hammer in our hand every time it come up. Pop! Because it's going to try. It comes up. It wants to creep back in your life. Pop! Every time. Pop! Listen. Now, let's not go to popping people. Let's pop. Let's pop the things people do. That's what we popping. Be careful, because it does want to creep back up in your life. Keep your helmet on your side and pop it every time it comes up. Man, that little game at who? Yeah, at what was the name of the little restaurant? Chuck E. Cheese, Pastor Charlotte. That little thing come up, pop, pop. Look, you get good. You get excited too, because if you're steady hitting it, you popping that thing. That's how we need to be. Every time a little thing pop, we pop them thing, pop them on the head. Every time it's brought up. You know, don't entertain the foolishness with people's conversations. Pop it. So many may claim to be the children of Abraham today, yet their wicked works and continual despising of the needed obedience of walking according to the Torah simply reveal that they are not. You're not walking according to the Torah, it tells on you. It will tell on you. I promise you. John 8:44. Oh boy, here we go. Yeshua's laying it on him now. Okay? We're going to get the Father Abraham thing out. Now I'm going to really tell you who your father is. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil. Abraham ain't your father. Because you're not walking how Abraham walked. Abraham walked in the Torah. Abraham stood in the boundaries. You are not doing that. So therefore, your father or the devil? Pop! That was a pop moment right there, what Yeshua did him. Pop! And the desire of your father you wish to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks the lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. He is a liar and the father of it. And ain't that the truth? He is a father of liar because that's all he does is lie to people. He lies to you. You're not worthy. This one saying this or that about you. That one saying that one about you. Look what you did in your past. All lies. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. Therefore, the warning is very clear for us today. To despise Abraham is to despise the loving commitment of walking in the righteousness of the Torah and obeying all that Yehovah has commanded us, his children. Do we get to pick and choose what his commands that we need to follow? No. He says, obeying all the commands. Not picking and choosing to what, you know, try to make fit my life. Abraham obeyed all the commands. He was righteous and for it. Obey all the commands, not just some of them. We need to obey all of them. And he calls us his children when we're doing it. Cursed or blessed, the promise given to Abraham by Yehovah was that he would bless those who bless Abraham. We bless Abraham by walking as he walked, and therefore walk in obedience to the commands of Elohim. And we know from Scripture that Yehovah blesses the righteous and protects them. Blesses the righteous and protects them from harm and any curse that the enemy may try to bring against the righteous. What a protector. That he protects you from all the curses that the enemy tries to bring upon your life. And listen, boy, does he bring them. The enemy brings them. Every single day of your life, he will try to bring a curse upon you. But when you're walking in righteousness, it's like you got this big old force field around you. He cannot touch you. Cannot. But when you get outside those boundaries, guess what? Game on. No holds barred. When you're walking outside the Torah, when you're walking outside those boundaries, those curses can come upon you. But when you're inside the boundaries, when you're in his path, wow, cannot. He protects you from all, not some, all that the enemy tries to put upon. Psalms 5:12. For you bless the righteous, O Yehovah. You surround him with favor as with a shield. For you bless the righteous, O Yehovah. Who's blessing me? Yehovah is blessing me. There's nothing I can do. There's no amount of money or anything I can have than him blessing me. And I need to realize that when something happens, when somebody does something good for me, or whatever comes my way, physical, tangible stuff, give him the glory for it. Because it's him that blessed me. It's not nothing I did. He gave me that blessing. He says, you surround him with favor as with a shield. In this powerful melody of praise unto Elohim that we knew, David knew, that he could boldly come to the throne of Elohim. Listen, there's only one thing that can give you that much confidence. And that's his Torah. That's knowing that you're doing his laws, keeping his laws, keeping his commands. That gives you that boldness that know that I can go to his throne anytime I want. And he'll be there to seek favor in this time of distress. Listen, I don't have no confidence if I'm not walking the walk that he wants me to walk. I'm going to be hesitant about going to his throne. I should be anyway. How can I expect him to heal me if I'm not following the food laws? How can I expect? Because there's things that he commands me not to eat. So how can I go before his throne when I got something going on in the inside of me and expect him to snap his fingers and boof, and you heal? Can't expect those things. But when you walk in his, when you keep in his laws and his right rules, you can go boldly. I'm doing everything your Torah is telling me to do, Father. I'm living it out to the best of my ability. I'm staying faithful. You can go to that with that kind of boldness. You can let your request be made known and he'll move. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Brother Freddie, I see you. You got a little ailment going on in your body. But, man, I've been watching you. You've been doing things inside this boundary. There's some laws you've been keeping. There's some right things, some right rulings you've been doing. Then I heal you. I'll bless you. That's the kind of boldness we have. But you can't have that kind of boldness when you're not doing your job. But we expect him to do his job. Don't work like that. It don't work like that. We do our job. He do his job. He is faithful to the faithful. Favor in his time of distress with the full assurance that his prayers would be heard. And that through his diligent seeking of and loving Yehovah with all his heart, I give myself away to you. Listen, I give myself away. Seeking and loving Yehovah with all the heart. You think he knows when you're loving him with all your heart? You best believe it. He knows when you're loving him with all your heart. He knows when you're playing with him too. and try it and see how that works out. Play with them if you want. You know, I used to say those things when I was in the world because I thought I was somebody, you know, like I was 6'8" and bulletproof. Play with me if you want. I used to say that. I really did. You know, like somebody would have been scared of me because I said that. Play with me if you want. Pop. I've been popped a couple times. Get your mind right. With all his heart, that he would experience the true blessing and protection of Elohim for. Yehovah blesses the righteous and surrounds them with favor. I receive it for myself. Yes, he blesses the righteous and surrounds them with favor. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word that is translated as you bless, it comes from the root word bara, Strong's H1288, and means to abundantly bless. Oh boy, I love that. When I read that, every time I read, I get excited. Because he just don't bless me. He abundantly blesses me. Abundantly. And literally carries the meaning to kneel or bow down, to show respect, to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect. And think about that. If he don't do nothing again in my life, the one thing he abundantly blessed me with, was when he extended, he knelt down. Remember that? Got on his knee. And he extended Yeshua to me. You talking about abundance? That's all I need. I don't need nothing else in this life. If I got him, if I got the blood of Yeshua, Messiah, I'm abundantly blessed. You know why? Because he redeemed me. He abundantly blessed me from day one. All this other stuff he's given me is just because he loves me that much. He abundantly blessed me when he commanded his son to walk that walk and put himself up on that cross for my sins. Abundantly blessed me. Years, thousands of years ago, he abundantly blessed me. Before I was even thought of, not by him, because I was thought of by him, with my parents. Before they was even thought of, and they was even thought of, and their parents was even thought of. Before all of that, while he was in the process of speaking the world into existence, he was abundantly blessing me. What an honor. What an honor. You want to serve him? Absolutely. Every day of my life. Every day. Excited to do it. The ancient pictographic script has the Hebrew word for bless, bara, Strong's H1288, pictured as the bet. The ancient script has this letter as it pictures a tent floor plan and means house or tent. It represents family and the importance of those who are inside the tent as opposed to the tent structure itself. The resh, the ancient pictographic script has this letter pictured, which is the head of a man, and carries the meaning of top, beginning, first, and chief, as in being the top of the body or the head of a tribe, and the one who rules and also speaks of possession and inheritance that is described by the chief. The kaf, the ancient pictographic script has this letter pictured as, which is pictured as an open hand, an open palm of a hand, and can symbolize that to which submission is given under the hand. Which submission is given under the hand. You remember our message that we had it for a long time. How we got to get used to that hand. Got to get used to it. Because listen, sometimes that hand can, you know, it's to caress you or whatever, to rub you and let you know how much he loves you and appreciates you and thank you for the life you're living and thank you for serving me. And but then sometimes that hand can be used for a little correction. And listen, we got to, just like we love the hand when it's telling me, attaboy, I got to love the hand just as much as when it's correcting me and say, hey, get your mind right, boy. I got to love both of them. I can't just love all the good all the time and expect him never to correct me. What good is it going to do if he never corrects me? If he never corrects me, what good am I? The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. You ever seen a parent raise a child that's not being corrected when they should have been corrected? It don't turn out too good. But you get a parent, you look at a child that's being corrected when he or she is doing wrong, and you gauge the life of the two and see which one, and see the outcome of the children and the parents. Think about it. So we have to be okay with both submissions of that hand, both feelings of that hand. Be okay with it. Love them both the same. Don't love one more than the other. Love the correction. It's not to hurt us, it's to help us. From the pictographic rendering of this word, we are able to clearly see who it is who blesses us. The house assembly of Elohim is blessed as the head chief who comes down and extends his open and revealed hand to his own. The head chief is the one doing the blessing. Our master, our mighty master in Elohim, came down to bless us and redeem us from all lawlessness. And we, through his son's life, he did that. That is more than enough reason for us to respond positively. That alone is more than enough reason for us to respond positively. To the call to rejoice, shout for joy, and exalt in Messiah, our Master, Savior, and King, Elohim, Savior, and King. Yehovah blesses the righteous and surrounds them with favor. In other words, the head of the house has shown his hand. What a blessing. The head of the house has shown his hand. Yehovah blesses us and gives us wonderful gifts. And we are expected to bear fruit and use those gifts, not for ourselves, but for the building up of the body. And we have a responsibility to increase and multiply, be fruitful as we go and sow the Besorah, the good news of Messiah, laboring in love as we give our all in total surrender, obedience to him who has blessed us in every way. You know, that's the flesh, our flesh issue that we have. That, you know, he's blessing me and we want to bless in me and we want to keep all the me. That's what we want. Oh, it's for me. But that's not what he tells us. You keep some for you, but I want you to bless others too. I'm giving it to you to bless others. Be a blessing. But that me wants to keep it all for me. It's all mine. He gives me this much. Then it gets to this much. And then, oh, I'm full. Now I'm gonna take this home with me. No. Bless others. How about you keep this much? Because it ought to be enough. Because he's gave his son for you, abundantly blessed you from the very beginning. And you take the rest and be a blessing to others. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the Elohim of our Father and our Master, Yeshua Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Messiah. What he blesses you with? He blesses you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. You think there's some blessings up there? My boy, let me tell you. Plenty in the heavenlies in Messiah. All of his commands are blessings. What he calls those commands? He calls them blessings. No, they're not not boundaries. What they call it when you're doing the Torah and keeping the law? Burdensome. They're not burdensome. He says, my commands are blessings. They're not burdensome. that opened the doors for us to become abundantly fruitful and able to sow seeds of his Bessorah, his good news and truth. As bondage. That's the word I was looking for. Same thing, bondage, burden. Thank you, Brother Chad. As we carefully consider this truth and meditate on this very powerful prayer of protection that was done with the playing of flutes, let us do our utmost to be found to be diligently guarding righteousness at all times. Proverbs 20:20 and Psalms 106:3. Proverbs 2:20. So walk in the way of goodness and guard the path of righteousness. Abraham walked in the way of goodness and he guarded the path of righteousness. And he also did it. He did the do. He did it. Psalms 106:3. Blessed are those who guard right rulings, who do righteousness sometimes. At all times, do righteousness. I'm by myself. Nobody gonna see me. Oh, yeah, somebody seen you. Somebody seen you. The one that matters seen you. Don't matter. You know, people, we got that bad habit. We only want to do righteousness when we notice, when we know someone is watching us. That's when we want to do righteousness. We want to self-exalt ourselves. That's what we want. That's we have a problem with that. If we're truthful, we have a problem with that. Do righteousness at all times. Do righteousness when you're alone. When you're by yourself, do righteousness. You know, or you're out in public. Nobody who you know, they'll never see me again. You know, I'm at this fair in town or whatever. Not literally, just talking. You know, I don't know nobody here, so hey, I can do what I want. I can act a fool if I want. Do righteousness at all times, because he sees you. That's what matters. Could care less what any, if my mama see me, my daddy see me, my wife see me. Do righteousness at all times because he see me. And that's why I want to do righteousness, because of him. Because his eyes is upon me. In terms of a blessing that we as children of Abraham receive, it seems fitting to recap on how the children of Israel were to be blessed, according to the instructions given to Moshe. According to the instructions given to Moses, which he was to speak to Aaron and his sons, which we find in Numbers 6, 22 and 27. And Jehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is how you bless the children of Israel. Say to them, listen, children of Israel, I'm about to say a blessing to y'all. Jehovah blesses you, guards you. Yehovah makes his face shine upon you and show favor to you. Yehovah lifts up his face upon you and gives you peace. Thus they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I myself shall bless them. I didn't read nowhere right there that I didn't put nobody else's name in that paragraph, in this passage of scripture. Yehovah blesses them. He does the blessing. His face shines upon you. He shows favor to you. And my favorite one of all. Well, not of all. One of my favorite ones. He gives you peace. He gives you peace. The world cannot give me peace. The world gives me a headache. That's what the world gives me. A headache, not just any headache, a migraine. That's what the world gives me. He gives me peace. Abundantly blesses me with peace. And how many know you need that? You need peace, because when you don't have peace, you make decisions out of just craziness. You make bad decisions without peace. Bad decisions. The priestly blessing. Yehovah spoke to Moshe, and told him to tell Aharon how he was to bless the children of Israel. Could he bless them any kind of way? Could he compromise? Could he negotiate? Well, Father, I don't think you should bless them like that. No, he told him to tell Aharon how he was to bless the children of Israel. And did Moshe do it? Absolutely. He did it just how Yehovah told him to do it. And that's how we need to live our lives. We need to do it just how Yehovah tells us to do it. Not how we think it should be done. Not how the world tells us it needs to be done. Do it how he tells us how it needs to be done. And by this, Yehovah will put his name on us as he himself would bless us. You know, that's you talking about a name. You want to carry a name? That's the name I want to carry. I want to carry Yehovah's name. When he put his name on me, there's not a better feeling in the world than when you got the name of Yehovah on you. Because why? There's protection. There's healing. All that when he's on you. All those wonderful things is on your life. Blessings. Abundantly. When his name is on your life. In the Hebrew text, this blessing, it is written as follows. And don't even ask me to try to read it. I might though. This can be, I think I did at one point in time, huh? Last time I did this. Let's give it a shot. This can be transliterated as Yevarach, Yehovah, Vayeshmarach, Yair, Yehovah, Pene, Elieka, Ve, Hinuch, Yissa, Yehovah, Pene, Eliacha, Vayesim, Lecha, Shalom. Hallelujah. The original Hebrew language with a little Cajun in it. Oh, he's so good to us. Hallelujah. Let us take a closer look at the words of this blessing and get a further understanding to it, powerful meaning. Oh boy, this is good. Let's look at it. Bless is the Hebrew word barach. Strong's H1288. It means to abundantly bless and literally carries the meaning to kneel or bow down, to show respect, to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect. That was blessed. Number two, guard and keep. In the Hebrew is shamar. Strong's H8104. Keep watch. Preserve. You think he's keeping watching over us? You think he's preserving us? Guard, protect. Face comes from the root word pene, penema, penema, or pene. Strong 6441. Face, faces, appearance, and presence. And can also carry the understanding of the presence or wholeness of being. To shine, or Strong's H215, light, noun, and give light or shine, verb, bring illumination. Number five, favor, Hanan, Strong's H2603, merciful, favor, and also carries the meaning of providing protection. Number six, give, and assume, some. Strong's 87760, to put, to place, to set. Set down in a fixed and arranged place. Number seven is peace, shalom. Strong's 87965, wholeness, completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, health, prosperity, well-being, safety, protection, and comes from the primitive root shalom, Strong's 87999, which means to be complete or sound, reward, make full restitution. What a powerful passage. Seven powerful words that are contained in this blessing as commanded by Yehovah that not only blesses us and puts his name upon us, but also wonderfully expresses his marvelous love and compassion for us and what he does for us through his blessing us as he, in a sense, has bowed down, come down, and given us the gift of life through his own, as he promises to guard and protect us and keep us safe in him. Seven powerful words. This blessing, in light of the understanding of the meaning of these seven words, would be expressed in English. Here we go for our English folks. As follows. Yehovah will kneel before you, presenting gifts, and will guard you with a hedge of protection. Yehovah will eliminate the wholeness of his being toward you, bringing order, and he will beautify you. Yehovah will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you, and he will set you in place all you need to be whole and complete. He will set you in place, and he will place all you need to be whole and complete. Think about that. All I need to be whole and complete, he's going to set me in that place. Genesis 12:4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Think of, he wasn't a young man. 75. When he gave up everything. 75. Verse 4, Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. This is a powerful example for us to show that no one is too old to change. No one is too old to change. I'm setting my ways. No. You're not too old to change in the eyes of Yehovah. Can't tell me what to do. I'm 75 years old. Pop. Yeah, I can't tell you what to do. Yeah, I can. I don't care how old you are. My dad always says, my little boy, I'm 42, and I'm still my little boy in his eyes. Guess what? You're still my little boy in Yehovah's eyes. He don't see you at 75. You're my little boy. Not too old to change. Abraham did not use any excuses. Think about that. Abraham did not use any excuses. We think of him by the hundreds when he asks us to do something. Huh? I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't pronounce dumb words. He gets me with that all the time. No excuses. And that's what he wants. He don't want excuses. I'm going to end with this one. He don't want no excuses. He wants you to trust him in everything. Everything you say. Everything you do. You think he doesn't know the path? If he's calling you to go this way, you think he doesn't know what lies ahead of you? Listen, he don't only know a day ahead of time. He don't only know a week ahead of time. He don't only know a month ahead of time. He knows years. We can't see years. He sees years. If he's calling you to take a path, jump on that journey and go with it. Trust him with no excuses. He's putting us on a journey. No excuses. None. Follow me. That's what he's telling us, church. Follow me. I'm putting this path in front of you. I know what's best for you. The path you headed was destruction. Get back in this Torah. Get back in this, in these boundaries. This is the path I want you off on. I don't want you off of it. I want you on it. No excuses. I'm 75. I'm 3, remember? He uses 3. At 3, we need to be right here with our children. For those that have them at just, you know, 3 years old now. Thank God I don't have them at 3 years old. No excuses or try to give any reason why he could not go at the command of Elohim, even though he did not even know where he was going to. Oh, boy. Even though he didn't know where he was going to, he still went. Who want that for their life? Father, I don't know where you leading me. I don't even care where you leading me. I know one thing. I'm going to trust you with everything I say and do. I'm going to give you my all. I'm going to give you my all. What's that song we sing? This ain't no ordinary worship. I'm giving it my all today. Giving it my all every time my eyes open and you give me another chance at life, I'm giving you my all. From the time my feet hit the floor, I'm going to give you my all. That's my wife. That's what we renamed my little charter company. That's even funny even saying that, my little charter company. I had one name, and then she texted me the other morning. She says, I've been feeling this for the last couple of days that you need to name your charter company All In. She says, because you're all in everything you do. It's like, that's just how you are. You're all in with the scripture. You lose your job. You go all in into this charter thing. You all in. So that's just how you live your life. You all in everything. And she's right. I mean, that's just me. I don't know. But I'm all in when it comes, especially when it comes to this. Listen, I'm not having no debate. If his word said it, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to try to compromise. I'm not going to go back and forth. Well, that's not what it means to me or this or that. It's concrete. If I can read it and see it, I'm doing it. I'm all in. All in. So that's what she said. You just got to name it. All in. You got to go. You got to do it. You got to go. I'm like, I wish you would have told me that yesterday because I just did this yesterday. I just came up with this name. And it was a struggle because I don't know all about that stuff. So, but we did switch it. So, yeah, we all in. We all in. We all in everything. If I'm going to be all in everything outside of his word, if I'm going to give him my all with everything else in life, I better be sure I'm going to give him my all when it comes down to this. 10 times more, with more expectation, with more adrenaline, I'm going to give him my all when it comes down to his word. Amen? He's good to us. I'm going to stop right there, brother. Hallelujah. What an honor.